Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I am your host, Dan Harris. With me is one of the two guests we're supposed to be having, as Yates is still under the weather, unfortunately. But luckily, it's Mike Tagliere. You can find him on Twitter, at Mike Tagliere NFL. I'm at Dan Harris 80. Can't remember if I said that. Tags, what's up?
Oh, I just found out something very concerning today. I don't know why I never realized it. I thought it was maybe my daughter, but I found out my wife. You know when you open like a thing of cream cheese, like a tub of it, and you take off the thing, and then there's like that that aluminum foil that you peel back.
Yeah,
she leaves it on there because she thinks it leaves it fresher.
Okay, so and you think that's ridiculous and crazy.
I think it makes zero sense. I'm like, I mean, once it's open, that seal's broken. And then you put the plastic back on top and it's like, that's the seal you get. I have no idea why you'd want the tinfoil back on there.
First of all, it's plastic. It's not, I don't know where tinfoil is
no,
coming
on. No,
it's
tinfoil. Like, it's like, no. So there's the plastic lid that goes on top of it. But when you open that plastic lid, because so from the store, there's a tinfoil thing that goes over the top, the aluminum foil that goes over it that you have to peel back that breaks that original seal to make sure that nobody tampered with it. She leaves that on there. Like she like only pulls it back like 3/4 the way and then puts it back on and then puts the plastic lid on top.
Well, I used to do the same thing. And I also thought it kept it fresh. And I don't know why until my wife was also like, that makes no sense. I was like, okay, whatever you say. But after this, I will I'll text Tab and I'll be like, what's up? I got your back.
You better. Well, you better just start tearing it off all the way. Otherwise, your wife's going to kill you.
Well, it doesn't. I don't go near anything at all in the kitchen because she just yells no matter what. Anyway, look, this is start sit day. Okay, we're going to take a look, as usual, at the guys who are maybe borderline starts, who we like a little more, guys who are seem to be definite starts, who we like a little less. We'll do some deep sleepers. We'll take a look and preview the Thursday night game between the Jaguars and the Dolphins. But before we get into any of that, can we very quickly talk about the fact that news just broke that Jalen Reagor has a torn UCL in his thumb? He's likely to be placed on IR. We just can't have nice things. I mean, it's not bad enough that we had to deal with it all throughout Sunday. We've now got an injury on Wednesday, early afternoon. Very briefly, Tags, break down the impact that you think the Reagor's injury, if any, has on any of the other relevant for fantasy Eagles players.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is someone that's been struggling through the first couple of games, and this is not going to help. We were expecting Reagor to grow into a role, and he's been seeing plenty of air yards. He's actually top 10 in the NFL, so he was someone that I was waiting for a potential breakout, and it could have come this week against Cincinnati, who you watch the Browns players continually get behind the defense. It's whether they held or whatever. I actually liked Wentz a lot more than before finding out this news, but now that it's like DeSean Jackson, Greg Ward, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you're kind of like, ugh, you want to throw up. So if anything, this brings Carson Wentz back down, even though I was considering him a good start this week before hearing this. I think that they've been holding out hope that Alshon Jeffrey comes back soon because they didn't put him on IR to start the year. So it really makes no sense. I don't know what they're doing with Alshon right now.
He didn't practice today, last I saw. So I highly doubt he's going to be back this week. I think a guy who, you know, I think we've liked because of the targets, but I think a guy who just keeps moving up is Dallas Goedert. You know, I think in the end, they just don't have that many pass catchers that are available to them at this point. And, you know, if there's somebody who I think really benefits, I mean, do you like DeSean Jackson anymore? I mean, Rager had gotten 4 targets in each of the first 2 games. It wasn't like he was taking up a huge thing. Wentz is certainly falling down my board, but he was before that. So, I mean, do you bump up DeSean? Do you bump up Zach Ertz? Do you bump up Dallas Goedert at all?
Honestly, I'm not going to bump them up too much because, again, as you mentioned, it's only 4 targets that are evading, like leaving the offense. And I would imagine that, you know, Greg Ward is probably going to see a couple of those targets. Maybe Arthego Whiteside gets 1 or 2. They have John Hightower, another rookie wide receiver that could stretch the field a little bit. So I'm not going to change too much. I did posting something on Twitter yesterday. I posted a poll and I am like shocked. I put, who would you rather start this week? Because I was doing my research and I came away torn. Who would you rather start, Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert? And people thought it was a joke. And then all of a sudden, it's like there's over 10,000 votes in this thing right now. And it's 50-50. Like split right down the middle. It's 50-50 because Goedert has been seeing more targets. Like he has at least 6 targets going back. I think it's over 12 games now. So when you have a tight end getting that many targets in a plus matchup against Cincinnati, you're like, well, we have natural progression in his career where it's like, has he overtaken Ertz? I don't know if I'm willing to go there just yet. I think Ertz is a safer play, but they're both right there. I mean, like they're both must plays this week.
Yeah, no, they're both definitely solidly within the top 12 for sure. I still prefer Ertz. I get the targets, but yeah. Anyway, just no more injuries. Come on.
Please.
Like, enough with this. But anyway, it starts to chill. Let's get into that. Before we get into it, this is, as I mentioned, last time I was on, we have a ton of start sit resources for you guys. And it, you know, biggest one, start sit assistant over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. If you're not using my playbook, you're just not maximizing your chances of winning. I say that all the time. It's got incredible tools that are really all you need each week to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward. Recommendations on who to start each week, including a percentage of experts who you would start for each player. You can set your lineup straight from my playbook. You can use multi-league mode. So you can submit your lineups to your respective league hosts on different platforms. It's an edge you can't get anywhere else. Again, fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Start sit assistant. Again, just one of the many amazing features in my playbook. If you're an MVP or Hall of Fame subscriber, you can get the autopilot feature. It will set your optimal lineup for you. And if you aren't yet a Hall of Fame member, we've got a special $10 offer going on right now for 6 months of our Hall of Fame package. Just go to fantasypros.com/offers for more details. All right, Tags, let's do our start sit here. Everybody knows our expert consensus rankings. You've got, or ECR for short, analysts from all around the industry submit their rankings. You get an aggregate of them overall. You don't need us here on the show to tell you whether or not you're starting Ezekiel Elliott. You are. If you don't, you've missed the last 70 episodes of this podcast, and you also don't understand how fantasy football works. These are the guys who may be a little borderline right now, guys who are, you know, fantasy managers are saying, I've got a couple of good options. We get starts at questions all the time. So for now, let's start with running backs here. Let's go outside the top 20 in ECR here, Tags, because if you're within the top 20, we will talk about some guys who are within the top 20 who were fading a little bit. But, you know, if you're within the top 20, you're a pretty safe start. Let's go with a running back outside the top 20 that you're a little bullish on this week.
I don't know why Josh Kelly is so far and down in the rankings this week. I have him at RB19 right now, and I could make the case to bring him higher. Him and Austin Eckler have the exact same amount of carries this year. Kelly has as many carries as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He has as many carries as Jonathan Taylor. Kelly totaled, here's a fun stat, he totaled 23 carries in week 2. Over the last 2 years that Melvin Gordon was in LA, he didn't hit that mark in any game. So clearly, if we were to walk into this year and people talked about it, they said, okay, what if Eckler keeps the same role? And what if Josh Kelly takes over that Melvin Gordon role? I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. Like, cool your horses a little bit. Even if he gets 70, 80% of that role, he's going to be an RB3. So now that we know he has that role and he's getting goal line carries, why don't we want to trust him against the Panthers? The Panthers, the 56.1% of the production that team has allowed to skill position players has gone to running backs. Again, that's 56%. No other team in the league has allowed over 50%. So much production is being funneled there to the running backs. So if they're going to have Justin Herbert under center again, which it's already been announced that he will be, Why isn't Josh? I mean, I think the gap between Eckler and Josh Kelly is closing quick. I think Eckler is a fantastic start this week too, but I think both of them are going to be like top 24 running backs this week.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, the ECR, I don't know what you said you thought ECR was. I have it at 26th for running backs. You have him at 19th. Is that what it is?
I have him 19th. Oh, I was in standard. So he is at 26th and half PPR.
But that's still a big difference for you for sure. So obviously he got what, 23 carries last week. You got this weird sort of mode where a couple of things. Number one, Herbert was not expecting to start last week, very clearly. And we now got the details on exactly what happened, which is insane, with Tyrod Taylor. He wasn't expecting to start, and they were desperately trying to control the game. I don't think you're gonna see 23 carries again though for Kelly. Do you? I mean, is that what you're?
No,
I mean,
I'm not saying that. I don't think they're gonna run the ball that much. And Kansas City is open the floodgates against the run.
It was clear what they were doing. They had a lead, and they were just trying to basically keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, which I don't disagree with necessarily. So I don't. But
can't they do the same thing against Carolina, a team that they just don't want to go toe to toe with?
It is without Christian McCaffrey. I don't think it's quite that dangerous. It's more about here about man. If you have two very solid running backs and you're against Carolina, why even throw the ball? Like, you can just run it all day long. Let me name a couple of guys tags then who are around that range. And let me get, would you start Kelly over any of these guys? Would you start Kelly over David Johnson against Pittsburgh?
I would, yes.
Melvin Gordon against the Bucks.
I would, yes.
Mark Ingram against the Chiefs.
That's the tier you're in. You're in the tier with Mark Ingram, David Montgomery. Those are the guys that and even Kareem Hunt belongs in that territory for me, where those are the guys that I envision Kelly right around that range. And those other guys might offer some more stability than Joshua Kelly, because we know a little bit more about them. But at the same time, I mean, Anthony Lynn has showed no confidence in Justin Herbert, like talking bad about him in the press, which makes zero sense. So I don't think that they're going to stray away from the run in this game. So I think Kelly is a safe start. And if you wanted to start Ingram over him, I wouldn't fault you. But I think that's the territory he belongs in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I have him like sort of at the tail end, though, of that. I have him 25th, so one spot higher than expert consensus rankings. Also, I want to put this out there, because I don't know about you, Tags. Obviously, we're updating our rankings throughout the week. Okay, so what we have right now, I do a massive, I spend a ton of time on Saturday nights after my wife goes to bed, which is at like 8:30, because she wakes up at 4:30 to run. But after she goes to bed, I am updating all of my projections. I'm looking at all the latest news, everything the coaches are saying, the weather, the Vegas moves, everything like that, and I'm updating it. So when I say I have a guy, Josh Kelly, at 25, I don't necessarily know if when you tune in to Instagram Live, 10 a.m., when I'm doing my start set, if I'm going to have him 25th at that moment. He's going to be around there, but he's going to move a little bit. So I do just want to make that clear, because I get a little, you know, hesitant when I say actual numbers at this point.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You agree with that, right?
It's so early in the week. Like, I still have two games to get through for the primer. I have most of it done. So, I mean, I could talk about these players, and I could talk about players before I even write the primer, but that helps me, gives like some specific stats that you guys should know.
100%. So a guy, I'll name a guy who is outside the top 20 in our expert consensus rankings. And I wonder whether or not this is just going to naturally move up when more word comes out and when guys start sort of realizing what's going on. But for me, it's Jerick McKinnon, who right now is 28th in half PPR formats. He's probably not going to end up here. Okay. But when I ran my first set of projections, McKinnon came out 16th. Okay. 16th in my running. Yeah. A little crazy. I get it. But I don't think he's going to be that far off from there. Now I'm going to move him down. McKinnon has looked very, very good in limited time. Very good. I mean, it's been limited, okay? You know,
it's been three carries in each game.
I understand, man, but what do you want, okay? He's looked great when he's in there. Absolutely. You've got very few healthy weapons right now. You know Mostert is out. You know Coleman is out for multiple weeks. It sounds like a report today, they don't want to mess with George Kittle on this turf. Now, the turf, again, they blame the turf. It's the same turf because they played the Giants, they played the Jets. You probably don't want to really risk McKinnon too much either, but I do think that he is the guy who's going to get the vast majority of the work. He is not built to be a 20-touch guy. Completely understand that. I don't think he needs to be they just don't have the options there. They've got to do something. Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm not expecting him to play tags. I don't know about you. I mean, there's talk about it. I think they're going to rely on who they think is reliable. And for right now, I do think that that's McKinnon. And again, I don't think they're like, man, we've got to save this guy because we desperately need him. Because Mostert's injury sounds pretty minor. Even if Coleman is out, you still have Jeff Wilson, another guy who I kind of like this week, generally as a sleeper. So for me, you know, apps other than the goal line work, I think, especially when you're in half PPR formats or full PPR formats, McKinnon's a guy who's going to be an RB2 for me for sure. So I don't know how you feel about McKinnon.
I thought I was going to like him. I remember looking at my roster in one of my leagues and I saw him on there and I was like, oh, I have McKinnon. I don't even have to go get him off the waiver wire, because it was a league where I was really thin at running back and I just kind of wanted to grab a few PPR options that I could maybe throw in there if I had some injuries. And I saw him there and I was like, woohoo. And then I decided, I wrote up that game and I started looking through it, and McKinnon, 3 carries in each game. Despite him looking decent, they decided to give Tevin Coleman, I think, 14 carries. He ran for like 12 yards. Tevin Coleman's so bad, but Kyle Shanahan has his guys. Okay. And Jeff Wilson, even going back to last year, he had 27 carries on the year. 27. Okay. 16 of those came inside the red zone, including 10 of them inside the 10-yard line, which was 25% of the team's total in 2019. So clearly, we know McKinnon's not getting those goal line carries. He's not. That's going to be Jeff Wilson. And Wilson, if you actually go back to the last time that Mullins had to start for the 49ers, I looked at all those games and I found out that Mullins targeted running backs. It was a 17.9% target share in his starts. So there are going to be some targets available for McKinnon.
Exactly.
So I do like him there, but it feels like a Tariq Cohen, James White type play rather than, you know, someone like a Mike Davis. I believe that Jeff Wilson is actually going to get 15 touches in this game. And I think he's someone that as I went through this research in this game, I actually moved him up in my waiver wire rankings as it got closer and closer, because I was like, I still think it's him. And it's like, if you look at this Giants team under a new coaching staff, they have allowed 4.64 yards per carry through the first 2 weeks. Shanahan produces running backs. That's what he does. So you do want to find the person that's going to get these touches. And I think it's Jeff Wilson. I'm just going to say that. And that comes from someone that thought that they were going to like McKinnon more. But when I dug into it, it just didn't make sense.
So you're starting Wilson over McKinnon.
I would start Wilson over McKinnon, yes.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's.
I know it's risky, but I'm looking at it and saying, okay, what's more likely? McKinnon hadn't been on a field since 2017, I think
yep.
it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's had 3 touches in his 2 games back. He's never been a bell cow running back.
Correct. And I don't expect him to be a bell cow running back here. And I think you make a great point. And then Wilson is another guy. He was more in my deep sleeper sort of range because he's just not being valued in ECR where he needs to be. I have Wilson as a top 36 back. So he's a flex play for me because I do think he's going to factor into the goal line. And I do think I sort of expressed wow at the upwards of 15 touches.
Wait a minute. Wilson is at 64 in consensus?
Yeah. Now, again, it's early. So I do think that as people get into it, he's going to rise. But I don't think they're going to get to where. Where do you have him? What's your number right now?
I have him at RB29 right now.
Okay. So I'm at RB35 right now. And he could probably, my guess is he's going to move up a couple of spots in there. So we really are not that far off. It's more about how you value McKinnon. If Wilson, I said last week that I would be surprised if Marvin Jones didn't score a touchdown, because that's just sort of how the game felt like it was going to unfold. I'm going to be very surprised if Jeff Wilson does not score a touchdown in this game. So I do see that. And you said 15 touches. I don't have him projected for that much, but I'm not that far off. I have him at 13. So if you're thinking that he's going to get that much more work, I think that's a decent play in a game that, even with how decimated they are, even with the defense, everything, even with the lack of pass catchers, they're still going to be playing from ahead in this game. They're still going to win this game. So I do think that that's it. For me, a lot of it factors into, again, in half PPR and full PPR leagues, I think McKinnon's going to be heavily involved in the passing game because there just aren't that many options to go to right now. I don't think Hill's going to play. Again, you know Jordan Reed. You know what that means, Jordan Reed game. But either way, I think McKinnon's just going to be pretty heavily involved. So even if he gets sub 10 carries, again, 100% not a bell cow, he's probably going to get, I don't know, I could see him getting 6-7 targets pretty easily. And he's got the potential. He looks healthy. Given how healthy he is, he's pretty explosive. I really like him in this game. So that's, I guess, what you know, I'm saying is I like both running backs. It sounds like you are, you know, you're obviously higher on Wilson, which surprises me, but I like it. That's a little
I have
bold
McKinnon
text.
At 35, so I don't like hate him like completely. I think he's an RB3. I just can't guarantee that he gets more than like 10 opportunities.
Okay, so this is one I really want to monitor as to what the 49ers are saying this week in terms of where I am, but this is probably going to be one where Tags and I, if you're going to look for a running back, the Tags and I are going to disagree on a lot coming into this week. I bet you McKinnon's going to be there. So anybody else, Tags? I mean, do you want to talk about Mike Davis? Because I don't know where you have. He's too low for me in consensus as well.
I have him at 25. I think he's fine. The Chargers have had two tough opponents, Mixon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to start the year, and neither of them scored more than 13 PPR points. Davis did see 8 targets with McCaffrey kind of leaving the game last week, but this should be a slower paced game against the Chargers. I'm not excited about Davis, and that's he's fine. He's a body, and there's a lot of people looking for bodies right now, but I want to say it because the expert consensus, like, I could see he's up at RB19. If you have James Robinson, he's a start this week. Because a lot of people are going to be listening and be like, oh, I have Robinson. What about him? You didn't talk about it. He's at 19 in the consensus, so he missed this kind of cutoff we're talking about. I have him at RB16. So if you're playing on Thursday night, I would play James Robinson.
First of all, I take great offense to your lack of faith in my hosting skills. I mean, we're going to get to that game, and I was going to ask you exactly where you have James Robinson, you jerk. But I have him at 18th. He's 19th in expert consensus rank. James Robinson is a start for sure. But Mike Davis, though, is right now, and again, he'll probably move up as we get into this. He's 33rd. So I agree. I have him, I think, 23rd right now. I mean, he's behind Nyheim Hines. That's not correct. I mean, that's not what you want to be thinking right now. He's going to end up above Nyheim Hines, but right now he's not getting the respect he deserves. Again, the big thing last week was how much he factored in to the passing game when he got eight catches right on all of his targets. So it is something where even with a difficult matchup, with the Chargers, I think he will still factor.
Would you start Antonio Gibson or him?
So Antonio Gibson was a guy who I was also on my list for guys who are outside of that. Right now, I have Mike Davis 23rd and Antonio Gibson 27th. So I have Davis ahead of him, but actually ECR is 23rd, so I'm a little lower than ECR on Gibson. I like Gibson. I like him long-term. I remember we were joking when we went to the Sunday night recap show where I was like, oh man, what do we do with Antonio Gibson? I don't know, because when I started preparing my show notes, he had basically been pushed to the side for JD McKissick, but then he got involved. So I do like him. But Davis is a guy, look, he was my number one pickup on our waiver wire show. Like, that was the guy who I was going with. I think Reggie Bonifonda will probably factor in more than I kind of hope that he will. But I do think they've made it clear they like Davis. They think he can be the guy. They'll probably be playing from behind. And I think the Chargers will probably put up more points given Herbert is the starter. And so I think Davis is a guy, especially given how he factors in. All right, before we keep going here, let's briefly talk about Pristine Auction, your one-stop shop for sports and other memorabilia. Look, Jamal Adams may be gone from the Jets, but he will never be gone from my heart. And a signed jersey, which I got from Pristine Auction, is never going to be anywhere but right by my side. PristineAuction.com offers you the opportunity to search for whatever you want. Every type of sports memorabilia. Thousands of auctions every day. Free to register. Free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And if you actually have the desire to win something, you are going to win something. You know how your kids are always asking you if they can have extra TV or extra dessert nonstop, and because they ask so many times, you occasionally just aren't paying attention and accidentally give them approval for something? That's kind of what it's like with Pristine Auction, except instead of extra TV, you're just getting memorabilia at insane prices because there are just so many auctions that a lot of times these items just sneak through at ridiculous prices. Both a signed Devontae Parker jersey and a signed DeSean Jackson jersey went for less than $41. That's just how it goes. Ridiculous deals constantly. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Thousands of auctions, ridiculously affordable prices, free to register and free to bid. And if you want $5 in credits, just use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Go check them out. You will not be disappointed. All right, let's go to wide receivers here, Tags. Somebody outside the top 30 who you are looking to start.
Outside the top 30, Devontae Parker? Is that real?
It is. It is. And I've been wondering about it. I mean, he's 34th, so he's been trending up a little bit. It might be a little worry about his hamstring. You know, again, it's Wednesday. I know he played the full game, but he was limited in practice. Given that it's a quick turnaround, people might be. But if it's not, it's him against Jacksonville. You feel fine about that, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, 100 yards and a touchdown over the last 2 weeks against Stephon Gilmore and then some Tre'Davious White. I don't know why people are doubting Parker that much. I really did not even realize he's that low. I mean, I have him probably higher than most. I have him at wide receiver 15 right now. This is one of those things where we're going to go back and we're going to look at everything, like once the practice reports get released and everything like that. But as of right now, this game's taking place on a Thursday night. I don't see any reason to doubt Parker. He's going against a rookie cornerback, CJ Henderson, who is good. I mean, he's solid, but Corey Davis was able to post 3 catches for 36 yards and a touchdown last week when Tannehill threw the ball 18 times or 22 times, whatever it was. It wasn't a whole lot of pass attempts. So I don't know why you...
All right, so you have him 15th, you said, Dax?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let me throw a couple names at you then, okay? Because that's high. That's higher than I'm going to be at him. I'm assuming that he's fully healthy. And again, you cannot ignore the fact that he has played 2 games and he has left one of them after aggravating his hamstring injury and that he is limited in practice right now. Of course, he made it through week 2, but that is a concern, especially when you're on Thursday night with the short turnaround. But let me give you a couple names. Would you start Devontae Parker or would you start another receiver in the same game, DJ Chark?
I would start Parker...
Okay. All right. You are bullish. Robert Woods or Devontae Parker. Woods playing Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going Parker as well.
Odell Beckham Jr. against
That's
Washington.
Right where the cut line is. I guess I could probably lean Beckham considering the injury concerns to Parker, because those two literally are back to back in my rankings. So I can go either way with it. I just think that the Browns are going to have a run heavy game script against Washington, and they can't get the ball down the field because Washington's front seven, just they bring the pressure there. So I worry about Mayfield being able to get the ball down the field. And it seemed like, I'm sure you watched that game Thursday night. It seemed like Baker Mayfield went into that game consciously saying, I am not going to force the ball to Odell Beckham. And there were a few times where I saw him looking in that general vicinity and he threw to a different receiver because it was almost like he wanted to stop doing it and it made him play better. So I don't know if Beckham gets the 10 targets per game that we were expecting the season started.
Oh, that you were expecting. When the season started, I was not expecting that because this is exactly what I thought with Beckham. And Beckham is on a guy who I'm fading a little bit, not avoiding. He's still a wide receiver 2 for me this week. That's what I think you're going to see. And great, he scored the touchdown. He got 4 balls. He got 6 targets. He has seen 10 targets per game throughout his entire career. He's not going to see that right now because forget about the 10 targets he saw in week 1. When they were playing Baltimore and they were just throwing to try to catch up, that's not how they're going to do. They're going to lean on their run. They're going to be conservative. Just Beckham's not a guy who I loved coming in. It's terrifying because he's incredibly talented, but he's not a guy who I loved coming in. So he is a guy who I still have him as a wide receiver too, but I think he's 17th or something in ECR. I'm going to have him a good 5-6 spots below that. A guy who I like is Corey Davis. I don't expect AJ Brown to suit up for this one. He might. I haven't, of course it's Wednesday. We don't know the practice reports. He didn't crush the targets, last week. He only got 5. He did score the touchdown. He's against Minnesota. I mean, you start your pass catchers against Minnesota. He's 38th right now in expert consensus ranking. I have him 31st to start. So he's a guy who, just solidly in that wide receiver 3 range. I want to throw somebody else here at you, Tags, unless you have another name that you want to throw out there.
No. The Corey Davis one is definitely, I have him at 29 right now.
Okay. Yeah. So we're right around the same range. Again, I expect him to get more targets this game. And again, Minnesota, goodness gracious. Whether or not it's Minnesota's just the secondary really is that terrible, or whether or not it's they're kind of young and their communication's not there yet. Again, no preseason games. This was one of the reasons why, especially if you were targeting, betting, it was much more something where I wanted to target teams that had a lot of continuity, teams that had a lot of people returning, same coaching staff, because I thought there were going to be some growing pains. How do you feel about Jerry Jeudy here, Tags? You've got Cortland Sutton out, but you've got Jeff Driskel. He's 35th. You're going up against the Bucs. Not a great matchup. I assume he'll get Sean Murphy Bunting, but he's the only guy, really. I mean, not the only guy, I guess. You can talk about Antler, but how do you feel about Jeudy this week?
Judy has to be the top target in that Broncos offense now. He has been playing a lot of his, it's like almost 75% of his snaps are coming in the slot, which means Murphy Bunting is going to be the guy that he's going to see most of the time. Carlton Davis doesn't play well in the slot. They tried to do that and he gave up a touchdown in his coverage. They can't bring Carlton Davis into the slot. The slot, I don't think people realize, is a completely different position. They don't have that sideline leverage that they typically do, and it just allows a receiver to go so many different directions. He's also a 4-5-6 guy that he can't hang with Judy down the field. Murphy Bunting is a guy that's allowed a 74% catch rate over the course of his career, which is only 18 games. He's the weakest link in that secondary. So they're also, the Bucs are also a team that are, I mean, you can beat them over the top. And Judy hasn't really been used in that, in that facet yet, but maybe there's some DGAF mentality, you know what I mean, to Jeff Driscoll.
I think Jeff Driscoll's got to bring that mentality, absolutely.
He threw for 250 yards and two touchdowns against the Steelers. I can't be mad.
Let's go. Let's go. People, I've been saying this a while for anybody who's a little worried about, you know, well, I wasn't a huge fan of Drew Lock to start. Give me some Jeff Driscoll. I'll be fine with that for fantasy purposes. So where do you have Judy ranked? Let me just put that
I out have
there.
Judy right now at wide receiver 41. In my
okay, rankings. So you're actually lower than consensus. And that's what I wanted to ask about, because I thought I had him at 37, which I was like, okay, this is going to be solid. Like, this is solid. He's going to be started basically as a wide receiver 3. But consensus is all over him. So I'm a little surprised. So let me ask a couple of guys who are close to him in consensus. Judy or DeSean Jackson against the Bengals?
DeSean Jackson for sure.
Judy versus Robbie Anderson against the Chargers.
I have Anderson in that same tier. I think that there's some really, I think there's a massive risk with Anderson, but I'm really wondering what the Chargers are doing with their cornerbacks right now. I really figured that they'd come into the year and play Chris Harris Jr. on the perimeter, and they haven't. They kind of sent Desmond King to the bench. So there's going to be, if they continue to do that, there's a matchup that Robbie Anderson can exploit away from Casey Hayward. So I don't know if they do that. I mean, I would assume they might, which makes me feel like Anderson's like that one play guy, right? Where he has that one play upside. And if he's getting 8 targets per game, he's having more and more opportunities to get those one big play. So I haven't seen that with Judy just yet, which means he has to do it more consistently. So I guess I'd probably say Robbie Anderson with the way he started the season. It's the same conversation that we could have with Michael Gallup, who's really struggled out of the gate. And it seems like the knee-jerk reaction that we all had when the Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb, they were right. I mean, when they drafted him, I was like, oh no, Michael Gallup is just, and then everybody kind of talked me out of it. And then I went through projections. I was like, all right, there's room for projection.
Yes, I do remember that tag. You're right. You were very concerned about that.
Yeah, and like here we are, 10 targets through 2 games, not a lot of production.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not ready to you know, jump off. I will say that Gallup and CeeDee Lamb are 2 spots apart in my rankings this week. So that's kind of how I see it. I have Judy 1 spot ahead of Anderson. So that's basically the line. Whereas they're borderline wide receiver 3s. Last guy to touch on a wide receiver's tags before we move on to tight end, because I want to ask you about him. Russell Gage. I mean, you've got now, I don't, you know, I think we're both at this point now kind of expecting Julio to miss this week. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't want to say that he's going to, just because he tries to play through injuries, but it's not
ideal.
There's
a report that he further tweaked his hamstring, and we saw it. We talked about it. You know, we saw it happen. So out of curiosity, if Julio is out, where would Gage rank? It's not a great matchup, of course, against Chicago, but where would Gage rank for you?
I would move him up. Right now I have him at 43, because I viewed him basically as a guy that had a safe floor, but you really didn't have much of a ceiling with him there. Buster Screen's actually done pretty well for the Bears, which is something I never thought I would say, but he's done a pretty good job. But the targets are going to be there. So I would probably say I'd move him up into, you know, wide receiver 36 to 38 range.
Yep. Yep. You have this pegged absolutely correctly. If I'm going to shoot you straight, that's exactly what I have for him and exactly how I felt about it. If Julio's out again, we don't know, it's Wednesday, but there was that report today. All right, guys, before we keep going, the future of fantasy sports has arrived with SuperDraft's exclusive game mode multiplier. It is really, really cool. I've tried it out. You know how you think of DFS, you think of like a salary cap, right? SuperDraft has that, but their new multiplier game mode is awesome. You create a lineup by selecting players within a draft group, and each group is assigned a multiplier based on their value. So let's say Ezekiel Elliott scores 20 fantasy points. If he has a 1.5 multiplier, you get 30 points. If he has a 2 multiplier, you get 40 points. So you can draft any player you want and build your own dream team using whatever strategy you think will maximize your points. SuperDraft offers contests for all the major sports. You can enjoy the best of DFS all year round. Sign up for SuperDraft today using promo code FANTASYPROS. Claim your 50% first-time deposit bonus where you can earn up to $500. You can either download it in the App Store or play at superdraft.io with promo code FANTASYPROS. SuperDraft, no limits, more winning. All right, let's go to quarterbacks. Let's talk outside the top 12 here in ECR. There's a clear guy to me that I feel like is a little undervalued. So I don't know about you, but anybody who you're looking to start who's outside the top 12.
There's a couple guys in my opinion. I mean, I don't understand why Matthew Stafford is out there. I don't understand why Ryan Tannehill is out there.
Yeah.
Tannehill, it's 17. Like,
yeah.
What happened here? Like, have people missed the last, 12 games that he's played?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think what you have is just sort of still this feeling from last year about how it's just this hyper efficiency cannot continue. it does. So sometimes I always say this, when we talk about sometimes rankings, one of my favorite sayings is some things just are the way they are. Stop trying to make them into the way you think they should be. Some things are the way they are. And this is the way it are. That doesn't make sense, but still. That's how I sort of feel about Tannehill. Another guy, by the way, Gardner Minshew at this point. I love that guy. I think I don't know where you have him. I have him 11th. So he's a top 12. I mean, Gardner Minshew or Drew Brees this week, Tex.
Minshew.
Yeah, that's right. That's the thing. And again, Brees is a guy who's 12th.
Here's a better question for you. Gardner Minshew or Deshaun Watson?
Okay, so you have unfortunately hit on something which I did not want to discuss because I do have Minshew ahead of Watson. And it's almost like I can't even say that
because I
don't really want, right? But I do have him one spot. I have them both as top 12. But right now, I have Minshew ahead of Watson. And I guess that's probably how it's going to be because of the fact that this is a Thursday night game. So I've got to, we lock in our rankings for the Thursday night players. Minshew right now is 11th, Deshaun Watson 12th. What about you?
I have Minshew at 12. So I'm right there. Watson, I have at 10. Because as you mentioned, it's just really difficult any week for me to bench Watson because I know the rushing upside that he presents. And I feel like
you've got Fuller. Who knows if Will Fuller is going to play at this point?
If he doesn't play, it's like, what is happening here? And Pittsburgh blitzes a whole lot. So, I mean, I'm expecting him to run a lot in that game, but I don't feel great about it. Like, if you wanted to start Minshew over him, I wouldn't fault you. But going back to Tannehill, I mean, the Vikings defense has been horrific. I mean, they've allowed 111 fantasy points per game to the combination of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. That's the fourth most in fantasy. They just lost Anthony Barr, who tore his pectoral muscle. Even with Barr in the lineup, the Vikings have allowed a 74% completion rate to quarterbacks, 8.4 yards per attempt, a 73% touchdown rate. Those are all near the league high. So when you mesh that with Ryan Tannehill's efficiency, why do we continually doubt Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'll make the case for it. I'm not doubting him, but I'll make the case for it. Number one, no, I mean, I know how well he did last week in a good matchup, but probably no AJ Brown. That seems to be the way things are trending. So he doesn't have the legitimate, real threat, all due respect to Corey Davis, and of course, Yates' best friend, Jonnu Smith. You assume maybe given, and I'm just giving fantasy managers the benefit, look how Kirk Cousins looked last week. And maybe there is this is just going to be a complete and utter blowout. And I just can't imagine that there are going to be. Now, Vegas doesn't say that. The spread is close and I don't think it's going to be a blowout. But I'm just trying to get into the head of fantasy managers. They're probably thinking there's not going to be that many pass attempts, and I know I keep doing this, but now there's no AJ Brown, it's going to be a blowout, so I'm not going to risk it with Tannehill.
Well,
that's my guess.
To be fair, so it was a blowout in weeks 1 and 2, and fantasy quarterbacks are averaging over 20 points per game against the Vikings. So, but basically, when you get into that blowout territory, they get to blow out somehow. Okay, those points have to go on the board somehow. And yes, I understand that Derrick Henry could probably go bananas, but we also thought the same thing last week. And Dan, kudos to you, though. You brought it up on our DFS show. If you guys don't listen to that, even if you're not a DFS player, you should listen because it gives you more, because it's later in the week and we're able to talk about players that we've learned a little bit about. And Dan talked about Tannehill being a sneaky play just because everyone was on Derrick Henry. But the flip side was like, there's so much attention focused on Derrick Henry. It's possible that Tannehill goes off and he goes and throws 4 touchdowns.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Tannehill's a guy who's just, I don't know what he has to do to get the respect he deserves in fantasy circles, but, hopefully this week when everybody benches him for, the likes of whoever their 15th ranked quarterback is, we'll get it. All right, go to tight end here, Tags. Let's go outside the top 10. Anybody who is kind of, striking your fancy here outside the top 10?
I mean, I was looking at it earlier. I mean, tight end is, it's, my rankings are almost identical to the ECR right now, just because I'm so target focused when it comes to tight ends. So if you wanted to say Hayden Hurst, that's probably where I'd go. He's 11. Mike Gesicki is also a good start. I guess I could probably go there. He's a little bit lower. But this Jacksonville defense, the safety play has not been good. The Jaguars were a team who any tight end who saw more than four targets against them last year totaled at least 11.1 PPR points. And obviously, you know, Gesicki coming off the game of his career last week, I would play him over someone like Evan Engram, I guess, over someone like TJ Hockenson over Noah Fant.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of Hockenson, right? Because Hockenson was a guy who I listed yesterday as somebody who I'd sell, but it's Arizona. I mean, are we convinced, by the way? Because Logan Thomas got the targets, but he didn't tear it up against Arizona. Are we convinced that Arizona is still this uber soft matchup for tight ends? Because again, for me, there's this huge range, right? That, right? You've got Hockenson, you've got Hurst, you've got Noah Fant. Again, who are they going to throw the ball to at this point? You've got Mike Gesicki, you've got Evan Engram. Another thing, Sterling Shepard now on IR. You know, there are just not that many options. I feel like differentiating these guys is really tough.
Yeah, it really is. And if Galladay comes back, it's like, okay, well, we start looking at it. And then I was like, all right, did Isaiah Simmons make that much of a difference to this Cardinals defense? And I went and looked at it. I think he has three tackles on the year. So it's not like he's making a massive impact right away. His PFF grade has not been great. So he's still like working his way into the NFL. So I don't want to sit here and say that the Cardinals are, you know, new and improved defense, but I will say this. Last year, they allowed 13 tight ends to finish as tight end ones. Through 2 weeks, they haven't allowed any of them. I mean, they played Kittle. It was only like a half of the game that he played, and they played Logan Thomas, a guy that got the targets. Neither of them guys got into the top 12 tight ends. So obviously they've improved the second year under that scheme. But Hockenson, the only reason I have him at number 13, and the only reason I'm a little worried is because he's only got nine targets with Kenny Galladay out of the lineup.
Exactly. A 13% target share without Galladay. That's just not going to do it. You know,
that's the concern.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so little separating those guys from me. So I don't even want to say necessarily where they are right now. Hockenson, I believe, is 11th for me right now. I don't know. He's going to go somewhere within that range. But yeah, it's all close there. It's a very, very difficult sort of thing.
Where do you have Goddard? I have him up. I have Goddard at four.
Well, I have fourth.
I have
Where do you have Ertz?
I have Ertz at three.
Okay. All right. Because that was the question we sort of raised. No, I don't have Goddard that high. I have Goddard eighth, which I thought was being kind of like, go get him. But, you know, as always, I'm the cold, takey one. I got to move Kittle. I have to move Kittle out, to be fair, because I have Kittle ranked right now. In the end, he's probably not going to play. So I need to move him out. So, but good for you, Tags. I like it. I like the boldness. All right. Let's go to sits, though. Okay. These are not guys necessarily who we were saying bench. You can't play this person, but they're a guy who we're a little, you know, colder on, I guess, that are within the top 20. So who's within the top 20 tags at running back, let's start with, who you're a little less excited about this week?
David Johnson. I don't like him very much at Pittsburgh. You just talked about Deshaun Watson not liking him so much. And this team, the implied total is so low. Mm-hmm. Duke Johnson's probably coming back this week, which is going to eat into some of those receiving yards. It's just not a good matchup. I talked about this last week with Melvin Gordon going in. Someone asked me, do I start Melvin Gordon or play or whatever? And I said, I'm going to fade Gordon just because you look at the Steelers and say, you know, going back to last year, it's a span of 18 games now. Gordon was just the second running back to score more than 14 PPR points against them. And it required a receiving touchdown to get there. I can't say we get that with David Johnson this week. It's just really difficult for me to like him very much. I have him at RB 23 or 24. Okay. So I don't like dislike him so much that I'm saying you can't play him, but I would not. I think the ceiling for him is like 15, 16 PPR points.
Yeah, I hate agreeing with you, but legitimately he was on my list. I have him 24th. 13 to 14 touches per game, not going to get it done against the Steelers. Like they're just, you know, they're too tough. Unless you're getting an incredible amount of volume, it's really hard to see Johnson.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Can you answer me a question real quick? Why is James Conner at 17? Are people still thinking that Benny Snell is better?
I certainly hope. I mean, they can't think that Benny Snell is better if they think he's going to factor him. Where do you have him?
I'm up at eight, dude.
Eight?
I mean, against Houston? Are we?
Okay.
Are we really worried about Houston?
Okay, I'm higher than expert consensus ranking, but I'm 13th. And I think the reason is he really didn't look. I mean, their offensive line is going to get a little healthier this week. So we should, everybody should recognize that their offensive line was pretty banged up last week. So, but until that very late 59-yard run, he didn't look all that good. I mean, he wasn't like tearing it up last week. So I think maybe people are a little cold on him. I agree that 17 is too low. But you've got him 8. Okay, well, let's just play the would you rather game. Would you rather start James Conner or Nick Chubb against Washington?
Chubb.
Chris Carson against Dallas.
I would rather start Conner.
Miles Sanders against the Bengals.
Miles Sanders, I have him at 5.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire against Baltimore.
I'll take Conner.
Oh, man. I love it. Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I like him. He hasn't looked that good. And I love
him. I'm not saying he looked like phenomenal, but I'm saying he's a guy that's going to get like 18 touches against a team that allowed more fantasy points on the ground than any other team in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I think it's fair. You know, I'm starting.
They lost DJ Reader too. Like, they got worse.
I'm starting Austin Ekeler over him. I'm starting Kenyon Drake over him against Detroit.
Drake is a fantastic player. He's going to be on the DFS show tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm starting those guys above him. I agree that 17 is too low, but it's not a guy 8. I love it. No, I'm at 13, I believe, right now. So it's I like your point, but in a colder way. Somebody who I'm a little less excited about than ECR is Todd Gurley, who's at 16. I'm 20th. I'm not benching Todd Gurley here. And if Julio Jones is out, that makes it a little more enticing. He got 21 carries. That's great. 61 yards against Dallas is not great. He has 1 yard receiving on the season. He had 0 targets last week. This is concerning to me, Tag. So he's kind of moving much further towards the back end of the wide receiver 2 range for me. And again, Chicago, it's just, you know, not a complete lockdown defense necessarily against running backs, but he's a guy who I'm a little less bullish on. I want to know, where do you have Gurley?
Yeah, I have him at 18. I don't feel great about it. I mean, the reason that I even have him there is because I think he plays for a team that he could just fall into the end zone a couple times, and you can't really. It's really difficult to sit players like that. It's almost like Mark Ingram, right? A guy that's not used a whole lot in the passing game, but play for a fantastic offense. And there's no one else in that team that's going to get goal line carries. So that's why I'm always scared to completely fade Gurley. But he's not running very well right now.
Yeah, I don't like what I'm seeing. And I didn't target Gurley necessarily, but you know, given. I was very much of a value play at running back, right? When those guys fell to you at that range, I just took them. And Gurley was a value in draft, so I do have some shares. How about wide receiver tags? Guys within the top 30 in our expert consensus rankings who you're not super excited about.
I'm going to go ahead and say Robert Woods is someone that I'm not excited about. And he's number 18 right now.
Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah, I have him at 25. I'm not a big fan against this Buffalo defense. We know that Jared Goff struggles against good defenses. He really does. And Robert Woods coming off a game where I think he saw 5 targets. It was the first time he hasn't seen at least 8 targets dating back to week 8 of last year. But the Bills are using Tre'Davious White in a shadow role. And knowing that Robert Woods spends the majority of his time on the perimeter, that makes sense that he's going to shadow him. Tre'Davious White is arguably the best cornerback in football. I mean, over the course of his career, he's allowed a 54% catch rate in his coverage, and that's while shadowing number one wide receivers. Cooper Kupp lines up in the slot a lot more, so I would think that Cooper Kupp is probably going to have a better game than Robert Woods this week. So I definitely have Woods down my rankings a bit.
So where do you have Woods? You mentioned, I believe, that he's 18. He's actually, I've got him 16th in half PPR. In ECR, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I went to quarterbacks and went back to standard.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but, sure. Yeah, so he's 16 there. I have him at 25.
Okay, that is lower. Yeah, no, I have him at 17. I'm not quite as good. I do get the thing. I just think for the Rams to be effective, they get Robert Woods involved. They find ways, creative ways to do it. So I do have him. I'm not. He usually ranks much higher than that in my weekly ranking, so I have dropped him down a bit. But I'm not quite as scared off as you are, although Tre'Davious White is a scary certain player, obviously. Do I do just kind of think that the Rams are going to naturally play better throughout this year because of the lack of fans? I don't know exactly if Buffalo has any, but regardless, I think without a full crowd on the road, I think he's just going to be able to hear McVay. I think that does wonders for them. So I do think that they'll find a way to get Woods more involved. Beckham, for me, is the guy who I mentioned a little bit. He's 17th in ECR. I have him 22nd. So that's a guy who, again, if I have Odell Beckham, I'm probably starting him, but I have him behind the guys like, for me, Hollywood Brown and Cooper Kupp. Those are guys who I'm more willing to take my shot on. One other guy tags who I want to mention to you because I'd like your opinion on it, that's DJ Moore. He's 14th, I believe, in half PPR formats. I'm 21st, so I'm still starting him if I am, but I expect this to be a Casey Hayward shadow. I know he doesn't always do that, but it does seem, given their sizes, that's probably, he's done it before. That seems like what it would be, and that just scares me off him enough. Again, still a top 24 wide receiver, but he's a guy who I'm not willing to roll out there as a borderline wide receiver one. What about you with Moore?
Yep, you are in sync with me. I have him at wide receiver 22, so I think he's more, it's like one of those things, you're never going to bench DJ Moore, but he's a guy that you need to temper your expectations this week, like severely, to like low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three type numbers.
Yep. Okay, let's go to quarterback here, Tags. Anybody who is, let's say, within the top 12 who you're just not really looking to start?
I mean, we talked about Deshaun Watson. He falls in there, but I'm going to also go to Aaron Rodgers. I want no part of Aaron Rodgers this week. And that's something that I don't say very often because, like, I've always been known to be like, oh, you like Rodgers. But he's gotten to the point of his career where he doesn't really have mobility anymore. He doesn't run with the ball, which is like, so when you look at Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers and Matthew Stafford and guys like that, those are guys that don't have any mobility, right? Rodgers is not quite to that point, but he's close to it. And what happens when it does that, you need to throw for at least three touchdowns basically to get inside the top 10 quarterbacks, or you need to throw for more than 300 yards. And when you look at the Saints defense and you look at what they've done, over the last 15 games they've played, just two quarterbacks have averaged more than 7.56 yards per attempt. Just three quarterbacks have thrown for more than 300 yards, and two of those quarterbacks needed 50 pass attempts to do it. You know, we don't even know if Davante Adams is going to play this week. So I have Rodgers down at quarterback 17 right now when ECR is okay. Number nine.
Are you starting? So you're starting Ryan Tannehill over Rodgers?
100%.
Stafford?
Yep. I have Minshew. Stafford up at eight.
I love it. Minshew?
Yep.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Yep.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I would, even though I don't like Watson. Yes,
I know. I had to give you a guy you didn't like. All right, okay.
I would start Drew Brees probably over Aaron Rodgers, and they're playing in the same game.
Brees is my guy. He's 12th right now in ECR. I'm not on the Drew Brees' the last year of Peyton Manning version necessarily. I do think there's more to him. He's not pushing the ball downfield, and without Michael Thomas. And again, I don't know who started talking about Emmanuel Sanders as like a strong wide receiver for in draft season. Whoever that guy was, just tore and feather him because had no idea what. Emmanuel Sanders looks terrible. I do like Traquan Smith, by the way, also as a guy who you might want to get involved. But if Michael Thomas isn't there, especially right now, there's no way I'm starting Drew Brees. I can stream on these other guys. All right, how about a top 10 tight end maybe that you're fitting? Again, I feel like tight end, we're both sort of exactly where we are, which is, they're all kind of interchangeable. Yeah. Like when you get to that, I don't know if you're fading anybody.
Waller, I'm not, again, you're not going to bench him, but I am worried about him this week. And that's why I'd play Goddard over him, because I think it's really possible that Stephon Gilmore shadows him. Because Darren Waller is a big wide receiver in a tight end's body.
Yep. I think that is a great, great call, because I'm not, to be clear, if I have Darren Waller on my team, he is being started. Like let's not make any bones about that. But 100, I mean, you know what Belichick is going to do, man. I mean, legitimately, there's no wide receiver right now. I mean, they'll figure out a way to, you know, contain Ruggs' speed if they're worried about it. But it's Darren Waller. That's what the passing game goes through. They will do whatever they can to take that away. So, yeah, I agree with you. This is a week where Waller makes me a little nervous. Again, still starting him for sure. But I like that call, Tex. I'm with you there. All right, let's go to your top deep sleeper. I mean, you talked about it with running back, really. Yep. It's probably Jeff Wilson, right? If there was a guy.
It is. That's 100%.
Yeah, he would be the guy too. For me, another guy who I might be willing to trust, you know, a little bit more than consensus with this would be Deion Lewis, because there was a report that they expect, you know, everybody's really excited about Devonta Freeman. I was the low guy. If you read our waiver wire content, which you should, we put out a consensus waiver wire article. I was the low guy on Devonta Freeman. Long term, fine. I mean, maybe I don't think Devonta Freeman is walking in on a Tuesday or a Wednesday without knowing the playbook behind a terrible offensive line and just going to get in there and just dominate the carries. I think Deion Lewis is going to be a little more involved this week. So he's a guy in a pinch. If you're in a PPR league, I think he can. But I think we both agree. Wilson's a guy who's in the 60s in ECR. Tags has him second overall in running backs. Tags has him wherever you said, top 25-ish or something, 29?
Yeah, he was inside the top 30.
Yeah, and I'm 35. So I'm right there with Tags, absolutely. How about wide receivers, Tags? There are a lot of kind of interesting options outside the top 50 that I saw this week.
I like N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know why people. I mean, he's been targeted 18 times. That's tied for a team high. He's caught 13 of them for 111 yards. Hasn't found the end zone, but that's basically what he is. Like, once you get in the red zone, you're gonna go after him. And Trayvon Mullen and Damon Arnett have been combined. They've combined for 13 receptions, 216 yards, and two touchdowns on the 18 targets in their coverage. And keep in mind, they played against a Michael Thomas-less Saints and a Panthers receiving core. So it's nothing special. N'Keal Harry is someone that I have ranked as a wide receiver 4, but I think he has some touchdown upside to get inside the top 25 receivers this week.
Yeah, for sure. Again, we were talking about how he, you know, really the one thing the Patriots need is that red zone threat from some sort of receiver. And I do think that eventually they're going to be like, oh, this is the wide receiver threat that we have been craving in the red zone. So I do like Harry there. A guy who I like, and again, he was the guy who I really wanted to target off the waiver wire, and that's Michael Pittman Jr. I get that, you know, the Jets, that the Colts are, I think they're 10.5-point favorites, and there's probably no number that you can put on a team facing the Jets that would make me feel comfortable taking the Jets with a point spread. But I do think in the end, you can exploit them through the air. And I don't think just because the Colts are going to dominate this game that you're not going to have productions from the wide receivers. And I think, you know, I don't like the rookie wide receivers really jumping in here and being a significant role, but I'm 49th. He's 61st in ECR. Again, I'm not going crazy. I mean, this is a borderline wide receiver 4 for me, but he is a guy who's 61st right now in ECR, who I think should be higher than
Hey,
that.
Hey, Dan, basically. Real quick. I know there's a lot of people listening right now that are probably looking at this and saying, what do I do with Leonard Fournette? I noticed the consensus on him is RB24, and that's laughable.
Yep. 17th. 17th for me, Tex.
You have him 17th?
Yep. I knew you were going the opposite way, right?
Shoot me. No. I have him 33rd.
Yep.
I don't like him.
Yep. And I got to be honest. He was on my list to talk about it. And I was like, man, Tex is going to destroy me.
I don't get it because they're... I know Bruce Arians talks a lot of crap. But he did say that this game doesn't change anything. He likes the way that they have it. And I feel like this is a Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones thing all over again, where Ronald Jones is the Peyton Barber and Leonard Fournette is Ronald Jones. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm grossed out.
I will say this. He's 17th. My guess is he winds up closer to 20th when all things are said and done, once I kind of work it out, and I will be monitoring it closely. I do not care whatever Bruce Arians says. I just don't care. I've seen enough of it. I've seen enough of it to know that whatever he says means nothing to me. Okay, wherever he's going, leave me alone. Don't care about it. I don't want to talk about it. So look, Ronald Jones had his shot. Will he have his shot again this year? It is certainly possible. This is something where Fournette is scary for the same reason that Jones was scary last week. You miss a blitz pickup, you fumble the ball. I don't want you. You're not going to be getting that many carries. But Fournette looked good. I think Brady likes him. We talked about it when they gave him that contract tags. They didn't give him that contract to sit around. He didn't get that contract thinking he was going to sit around. This has come earlier than I expected. But I think as long as he doesn't blow it, I think it's here. I think he's going to get the work. And he's a guy who right now, again, I hesitate to say this because in the end, with my rankings, they'll move a little bit, something like that. Right now, I'm like starting him over Todd Gurley. That's where I'm at right now, starting him over Todd Gurley. So, okay, I mentioned Jerick McKinnon was going to be our big fight. Maybe this is going to be our big fight then. Leonard Fournette, we'll see. But yeah, I'm good with him. So, okay, tag. So we did wide receivers. Let's go now. I'm going to do a little lightning round with you, okay? I'm going to name a couple of players. We're going to stick sort of outside of the guaranteed guys. I just want to know who you're starting in this range. Okay, ready? J.K. Dobbins against the Chiefs. Ronald Jones, your buddy, Denver.
Stop.
Or DeAndre Swift against Arizona.
This is disgusting.
It is. That's why I do it. They're, by the way, ranked in the low 20s.
Yeah,
in the
Ronald Jones here. I think that he has, like, I have him and Fournette next to each other. I wanted to ask you because I don't feel great about it either way, but I'll say Jones.
I'm actually looking, but it's not going to be Jones because I have Jones lower. I'm just looking.
Why is J.K. Dobbins high again? He's a 29th, is that right?
Yeah, I'm 30th. What's wrong with that?
I mean, what did he have, 3 touches last week? He had 7 touches in week 1. Like that's 10 touches, dude.
Yeah, but he's going to get, this game is going to be, you're not wrong, okay? You're not wrong, but there's going to be more in this game because this is not going to be a game where they are going to win it handily, which they were both of their first 2 games, okay? This is a game where they're going to need to be constantly out there putting their best foot forward. Dobbins is probably their best foot forward. That's what I really think. And as they get into sort of the later game, I think they're going to want to feature him more. Again, 30th. I'm not running out there to start J.K. Dobbins.
It sounds like you are.
Okay. Well, you know what? It sounds like you know what we say, Tex. You know what we have to say when we get into this? So is your face. Okay, that's our go. All right. So let's go here now to guys outside the top 30 in wide receiver. Are you starting? This is a good one. Okay. Mike Williams against Carolina, Preston Williams against Jacksonville, or Brandon Cooks against Pittsburgh. I'll throw another guy out there too. Alan Lazard at New Orleans.
I'm going with Mike Williams here. I have him and Brandon Cooks right next to each other, but I'm going with Williams because I think there's something in the realm of possibilities that Mike Williams catches two touchdowns against Dante Jackson because Dante Jackson's not very good.
Okay. I love it. I have Mike Williams the highest as well. So fine. We can agree.
Boom.
Boom. Nailed it. Okay. Let's go with tight end. Again, we're so close on tight ends. Like it doesn't really matter, but I will force you to choose. Yeah. Okay. Mike Gesicki at Jacksonville, Noah Fant against the Bucs, or Evan Engram against the 49ers.
I'll go at Gesicki.
Yep. Gesicki is highest for me too. Again, we could not really fight about this too much because there's not that crazy. Okay. See, we've talked about so many of these quarterbacks, but let me throw some guys out there. Let's go Carson Wentz versus Cincinnati, Gardner Minshew against Miami, or Tom Brady against Denver.
I had Wentz there, and then after this Rieger injury, I'm moving him down a little bit. I would probably go with Minshew. I just feel like there's a decent floor with Minshew. He showed that last year. The ceiling was never really too high, but now that they've added, you know, like they have Keelan Cole playing in a full-time role, good for Jay Gruden for realizing that he needs to be in the lineup because Keelan Cole's a good receiver. Laviska Shenault is giving them different, you know, different looks as an offense, and DJ Chark hasn't even been unleashed yet. So I guess I'll go with Minshew here.
Yep, Minshew is highest for me as well. All right, Tags, we're going to do our start of the week. I mean, again, you want to just go Wilson? I know that's your guy, but who's your start of the week here? If you have to pick one person, be like, that's my guy. That's my plant the flag guy.
I mean, Joshua Kelly would be my plant the flag guy.
That's fair. That's fair. And my plant the flag guy, again, I could fudge it, but I'm so far ahead of consensus on Jerick McKinnon this week that it would be disingenuous to say anybody else. So for me, McKinnon is my plant the flag guy. Man, I hope I don't like go through the news this week and Kyle Shanahan's like, we're going to limit McKinnon. We're going to ease him in. He'll get 8 touches. And I'm going to be like, edit this entire podcast. How about your sit of the week here, Tags? Who are you just fading? People seem to want to start. You don't really want it.
I mean, I want to be bold here and just say that I'm not a big fan of Robert Woods this week. I mean, I've said that, and I don't think that you would actually sit him in most cases, but I want to be bold. I don't want to give you someone that's like, you know, I don't want to say Brandon Cooks because he's against Pittsburgh, because a lot of people aren't starting Brandon Cooks to begin with.
Well, I did not necessarily expect this to be super bold in my
way to go, Dan.
Sit, but no, it's not crazy.
On here, can I say sit Anthony Miller because he doesn't play nearly enough snaps? Not because he's not good.
No, because if you're still playing Anthony Miller, you're doing it wrong. So don't worry about it. You can't list him as your sit. I'm going to go with Ronald Jones. Okay, that's the guy. He's 30th, I believe. Is that where he is in expert consensus rankings?
30th, yeah.
Yeah, I've got him 43rd. So this is how I'm viewing the situation. Could be wrong. I'm viewing the situation right now as Leonard Fournette is going to dominate the touches in that backfield, and it's going to be all day long, and it's not going to be Ronald Jones. Another guy, by the way, who's not ranked that highly. I want to put this out there because we haven't talked about him. I don't know where he's going to rank. That's Devonta Freeman. I'm not starting Devonta Freeman this week. You know, if he comes in, I don't know, Tags, if he comes in and they're like, yeah, we're going to get him involved, where do you think he's going to rank Devonta Freeman? Ugh,
I don't want to rank him. I mean,
Ugh is not a rank.
Can I say something real quick? So many people are saying, oh, if Saquon Barkley sucked behind this offensive line, why would you guys think anybody else would be good? This is not an apples to apples situation, guys, because think about it. Go back to last year. Remember that game, the first game that Saquon missed, and then Wayne Gallman stepped in and he played fantastic. He had an RB1 performance. He played lights out. But nobody ever looks back at that and says, well, he did that and Saquon didn't do anything the weeks before. Like, why isn't he playing over Saquon? Because it's not an apples to apples thing. Teams approach that team differently. And that's where Devonta Freeman does not bring the respect that defenses would to someone like Saquon Barkley. So I think that Devonta Freeman, if he gets this starting role, he's going to be usable in fantasy. He's not sexy. It's almost like a Ronald Jones type start every week. You know what I mean? Where it's like you were hoping to get RB3 type numbers, and that's fine. Every now and then he might sneak into the end zone. But there's definitely a role here because Deion Lewis is not, he's not it. I think Wayne Gallman should have been the guy. They should have just went with him.
Yeah.
Because this team is not,
makes no sense to
they're
me.
Not going anywhere this year. Like, why spend money on Devonta Freeman? So
it makes no sense to me whatsoever. And especially with that report earlier in the year, right? Before it started from whoever that beat writer
Jordan
was.
Jordan Renan, I think.
Right. Jordan Renan, right. that said that they feel totally comfortable turning it over to Wayne Gallman if something were to happen. I mean, I don't know. So again, this is something for me. Freeman, I don't know what kind of shape he's in. Maybe he looks great, but he hasn't been practicing with anybody. You know, we worry all about these guys who didn't have preseason games getting injured, and that's happening. I don't know what we expect Freeman necessarily to do. It is a bad offensive line. As we said, people keep saying CJ Anderson, CJ. Yeah, it happens. It happens. It might happen right now. The probabilities for me are against it. So for me, I'm not starting Devonta Freeman this week, no matter what. And I'm probably going to be lower on him generally going forward. But that is somebody who, again, he's not ranked right now particularly highly in ECR, but I know fantasy managers keep saying, ooh, Devonta Freeman, for me, especially this week, I'm avoiding. Okay. Thursday night preview, very quickly, before we get out of here. We've touched on most of these guys. You're okay starting. I have Minshew 11th. You have him, what, 12th? So if you want to stream, he's a perfectly fine streamer this week. Hey, Tags, out of curiosity, where does James Robinson rank in your running back rankings? Because that is a question that I had written down to make sure I asked you.
I'm totally not ready for that question. I have him at RB 16.
Okay, I have him RB 18. He's a start. He's an RB 2. I love it. He's getting it. Let's talk about you're starting DJ Chark, by the way, is questionable, I guess, with a chest injury. I expect him to play. If he plays, I assume no problem. You're starting him.
Yeah, I mean, I would start him. I would start, as you asked me before, I would start Devontae Parker over him because I don't have to worry about Parker's targets. If he's on the field, he's getting them. Chark has been a little bit more. I think he's a buy-low candidate. I think he's been a buy-low candidate, but it is to the point now where it's like, all right, well, this is a little worrisome, and do they shadow him? I don't know what's going on there, but I have him at wide receiver 19, so you're still playing him, though.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a little – we've talked about the targets. It's weird. He's gotten 7, I believe, on the season. He's caught all 7 because if Gardner Minshew's throwing you the ball, you're getting those targets. I have him 18th, so I'm still starting him. What about Keelan Cole here? Tags, not a terrible matchup for Cole at all, and he's a guy who was kind of talked about on the waiver wire show. How are you feeling about him?
I have him at wide receiver 48. I think that he's a fine play. I don't think that he's like necessarily someone that you have to start by any means, but if you're looking for, I think him, Danny Amendola, those are guys that should present a solid floor this week because there's a lot of people out there with wide receiver injuries that you may have missed out on your target on the waiver wire. So if you're looking for a last ditch option, I think Keelan Cole might still be out there. And if he's not, Danny Amendola against Arizona.
Yeah, I have Cole ranked right there. I think I have him 49th. So yeah, I feel exactly the same way. Borderline wide receiver 4. I like what he's doing. I wouldn't mind picking him up if I'm wide receiver needy, if I'm dealing with injuries. But, you know, he's more of a floor play rather than the ceiling play. On the Dolphins, are you willing to stream Fitz if you're desperate?
I don't think he's as bad as consensus is on him. I think that he was like outside the top 25 wide or quarterbacks. Yeah. I thought that was nuts. I have him.
Yeah. He's 25th.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't get that at all.
Yeah. I'm 21st. Just where I have him.
I have him at 18. So I think okay. He's if you're playing in two quarterback leagues, I have no problem playing him. And I think there's a realistic outcome where that this team doesn't have anybody to run the ball because against Jacksonville, you can run the ball pretty much all day if you want. But they don't have anybody to do that. So if they're going to rely on why not have Fitzpatrick throw the ball?
I kind of would love to scream at you and disagree about how they have nobody to run the ball. Cause there was this guy on our first waiver wire show who said like, man, there's a running back in Miami.
Is that the same guy that said Emmanuel Sanders was going to be amazing?
It is actually. That's true. He just throws enough darts and eventually one of them hits. So out of curiosity, if you are starting someone, I assume it is Myles Gaskin. And out of curiosity, where does Myles Gaskin rank this week for you?
Yeah, I have him as a back end RB3. I think you could do worse. I have him at RB 37, right behind Jarrett McKinnon. 30, yeah.
Well, you're too low on both. I have Gaskin at 31st, but you could do worse is kind of what I want to have tattooed on my forehead going forward. All right, so you're starting Devontae Parker. How about Preston Williams?
Ideally, no. I mean, I'm to the point now with Preston Williams where he looks bad. He was shadowed most of the game by Tre'Davious White last week because I think they were preparing for no Devontae Parker in that game. So, but Preston Williams, he dropped a touchdown. It went literally right off his chest. He doesn't look great off the ACL. It might be a mental thing. So I'm to the point with him now where I'm saying if you want to roster him, that's fine. But I would wait for him to have a big game before putting him in your lineup.
Yep, I'm 47th, so he is also somebody who I'm not going to start, and we've already talked about Mike Gesicki, which means we are done. Well done, Tags. Way to go. I mean, we don't even need Yates. Whatever, he can be
Yeah, sick. Whatever, Yates.
Whatever, Yates. Go be sick and do stuff like that. All right, that is all for today. Remember, we've got a ton of Start Sit content for you each and every week in addition to this podcast. Yates and I are going to do a breakdown of every game on Friday's podcast. I'm going to go record a sleepers and bust video in like 10 minutes for our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Also on our YouTube channel, Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, Tags and Yates are live answering your Start Sit questions. I'm also on Instagram Live at the Fantasy Pros account from 10 to 11 on Sunday mornings. All the Start Sit content you could want. Thanks also to our sponsors, Pristine Auction. You know the drill. Thousands of auctions, incredible prices. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Thanks also to Superdraft. Try their exclusive multiplier game mode. Build your dream team. Get a first-time deposit bonus. Download it in the App Store or play at superdraft.io with the promo code FantasyBros. We'll be back tomorrow with our DFS episode. I'll talk to you then.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.